Radio Prague News.
The Constitutional Court has rejected the President's complaint about the new civil service law. The Czech Republic says it will accept 1,500 refugees. And inflation has climbed, but unemployment is down. The Czech Constitutional Court on Thursday largely rejected a call from President Miloš Zeman to overturn a new civil service law. The court admitted just one change to the wording. The head of state had called for large swathes of the new law to be changed or for it to be abolished altogether, on the grounds that it had not been approved in the right manner. The president also questioned the existence of politically nominated deputy ministers. The law aimed at introducing a professional Czech civil service was pushed through at the insistence of the European Commission, which threatened to withhold European funds unless the Czech government fulfilled its long-term promise to act. The Czech Republic is ready to accept 1,500 refugees by 2017, the cabinet decided late on Wednesday. The first immigrants should be accepted in September. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka described it as a one-off act of solidarity. Deputy Prime Minister Pavel Bělobrádek said the Czech Republic would accept 1,100 refugees from Italy and Greece and another 400 from refugee camps mainly in Jordan, Kurdistan and Syria. Interior Minister Milan Chovanec is set to present the plan at a meeting of EU ministers on Thursday. The cabinet wants to negotiate with the EU about the rules for returning refugees who failed to get Czech asylum. Head of State Miloš Zeman repeated through his spokesman on Thursday his views that refugees from culturally divergent backgrounds would not be happy in the Czech Republic. Christian Syrians did, however, have the right cultural background to settle in the country, the president's spokesman said. The migration issue is due to be raised in the lower house of parliament on Thursday. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka also called for a meeting of all party leaders to explain the government's decision on Wednesday and the mandate for talks with EU partners given to Interior Minister Chovanec. The unemployment rate in June fell by 0.2 percentage points to 6.2%, according to figures released Thursday by the Labour Office. The number of unemployed stands at just under 451,400, the lowest level since April 2009. The number of vacancies at almost 97,000 is the highest level since December 2008. There are, however, just under 5 would-be candidates for every job vacancy and unemployment black spots where the jobless rate is still over 11%. The annual inflation rate hit 0.8% in June compared with 0.7% in May, according to the latest figures from the Czech Statistical Office. One of the main factors was higher prices for food and drinks and a sharp hike in the price of cigarettes and other tobacco products. Costs of basic utilities such as gas and water also rose, but electricity prices were lower year on year. The Czech National Bank has a target of 2% annual inflation. Police in the West Bohemian city of Pilsen say they have detained a man suspected of shooting several times at a bus carrying foreign workers from an industrial zone on Wednesday. The weapon likely used in the attack was also recovered. Around 90 passengers were travelling in the bus at the time of the attack, but no one was injured. The bus driver later found 3 bullets in the vehicle. The motives of the attacker are still being investigated. Minister of the Interior Milan Chovanec suggested it could have been motivated by against the foreign workers. And finally, the Ministry of Environment has suggested 55 new locations be added to the existing list of special conservation areas in the country. The existing targets for 70 sites will be changed and the borders of 250 areas also amended. 11 sites will be abolished. The suggestions will now be subject to interministerial discussion. The changes should take effect at the start of 2016. The European Commission has been pressing the Czech Republic to update its list and started infringement proceedings against it for lack of action. Significant EU funds could be withheld if Brussels is not happy with the progress being made. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, with me, Ruth Franíková. Coming up in today's programme, the Czech government has revealed plans to accept 1,500 migrants by the year 2017. We have the latest news from the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival, and in Panorama we talk to style and life coach Eva Stehlíková, who says most Czechs still regard style as a passing fad. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The Czech government has revealed plans to accept 1,500 migrants by the year 2017. The move represents the country's response to a June proposal that EU countries voluntarily accept around 60,000 migrants from North Africa and the Middle East. The deal also sees EU nations, including the Czech Republic, helping to ease the strain on refugee camps in countries such as Jordan, currently housing those who have fled the ongoing conflicts in Syria and Iraq. Dominic Yoon has more.
The plan revealed by the Czech government on Wednesday would see the Czech Republic accepting 400 migrants this year, 700 next year, and another 400 in 2017. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka described the policy as a one-off act of solidarity designed to represent the Czech Republic's contribution towards dealing with the current EU-wide migrant crisis. The Prime Minister's words underscore that the Czech public remains highly apprehensive about permitting such arrivals within its borders. But Christian Democrat Deputy Prime Minister Pavel Bělobrádek was quick to assuage such concerns, telling the press that tough vetting procedures will be in place to prevent potentially dangerous migrants from entering the country.
We certainly have no intention of allowing in any radical Muslims or terrorists or any other kinds of people that might cause us problems. We don't want such people here.
Bohuslav Sobotka also sought to underscore that every effort will be made to ensure that such migrants do not pose a threat to Czech society.
We will have the entire security aspect of this process fully under control. That means people don't have to worry that we will be witnessing anything that the government is unable to handle.
Nonetheless, critical voices regarding such a policy are being heard, particularly from the Czech political right. Former President Václav Klaus told Czech Radio on Wednesday that he believed that many migrants were simply coming to the EU in search of a better life, and that this should be resisted.
It cannot be a solution for humanity to simply run away from every place and every country where there are severe problems, and instead go somewhere else. This will not work. Issues must be addressed and solved at the locations where the crises have erupted.
Social Democrat Interior Minister Milan Chovanec has been tasked with overseeing the implementation of the plans. These include finding specific locations where migrants could be relocated. Speculation on such sites includes an existing refugee facility near the northeastern town of Frídek Místek. Speaking to the press, Chovanec declined to elaborate on which facilities might be selected.
The government and Interior Minister have come up with a list of around 10 possible locations. We will be discussing this at a cabinet meeting next week. At present, I will not be revealing the potential locations.
Chovanec also added that the sites would be prepared to ensure that sufficient infrastructure, security and other necessary requirements were fully in place. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Sobotka ruled out that any new refugee camps will be built in the Czech Republic, saying existing asylum facilities are sufficient and can be expanded if necessary.
Dominic Yoon with that report. Now the 50th Karlovy Vary International Festival, which opened in the West Bohemian spa town last Friday, has screened over 200 movies and welcomed a number of international celebrities. Radio Prague's Ian Willoughby has been at the festival from the outset, and when we spoke on the phone earlier today, I asked him how things have gone so far.
I would say it's gone very well, Ruth, though it has been extremely hot this year. The opening weekend was dominated by the presence of Richard Gere, the Hollywood star. He attended the opening ceremony here on Friday, where he received the festival's Crystal Globe Award for Lifetime Achievement. Then on Saturday night, he appeared at the huge outdoor cinema here in Karlovy Vary for a screening of Pretty Woman. And incredibly, 7,000 people turned out to see him presenting that film, which is 25 years old now. And the next night he again presented a new film here at the Hotel Turmel. So Richard Gere was a very visible guest at the festival. And my view always is that if the star guests make a kind of effort and mix with people and try to be kind of accessible, it really adds a lot to the festival. And I think Richard Gere was very much in that category of an accessible, good guest for the festival.
What about films? The Crystal Globe for Best Film will be given out on Saturday night. From talking to people, do you get any sense that there are any front runners?
Well, it's hard to say, Ruth, because there are 12 films and I haven't seen all of them. But a lot of people are praising the competition film The Sound of Trees by a Canadian director called Francois Pellequin. And it's a kind of coming-of-age film about teenagers in a small town, or one teenager in a small town. Also, I've heard a lot of praise for a Czech film called Home Care. It's by first-time director Slavek Horák. And it's a kind of domestic drama. One of the stars is Bolek Polívka. For me, one of the most interesting films so far has been Gold Coast by the Danish director Daniel Dencik. And it's a kind of reimagining of colonialism. It's a really spectacular film. Away from the competition, the most popular film, at least according to the ongoing audience vote in the festival newspaper, is Youth by Paolo Sorrentino. And one of the main stars of that film, Harvey Keitel, is coming here to present the film tomorrow. He's actually here already, but he's presenting it tomorrow. And for me, the best film I personally have seen is called Embrace of the Serpent by a Colombian director called Chiro Guerra. And it's an amazing black and white film set in the Amazonian jungle.
Karlo Vivari is also known as a big social event in the Czech Republic. Away from the films, who has been seen there this year?
Yes, Ruth, it is a very big social event, one of the biggest, I think, in the Czech Republic. Many people definitely only come here to schmooze, or largely come here to schmooze. There are lots of business people, big, important business people, and, of course, many politicians, past and present. For example, Václav Klaus was here. He's had a long association with the festival. He was at the opening. Also, maybe more interestingly, the Prime Minister was here, Bohuslav Sobotka, and he had things to say that will concern the festival organizers about the Hotel Turmel, which is the center of the festival. The hotel is owned by the Ministry of Finance, and there has been talk about it being possibly privatized, and that would put the future of the festival in doubt. The Prime Minister, though, said that he favored the Turmel remaining in state hands. So I think his comments will have been very much welcomed by the festival organizers, because people are worried about what would happen if the Turmel was privatized.
My thanks to Ian Willoughby, who was talking to us from Karlovy Vary. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where there is now time for a fresh edition of Panorama, brought to you by Daniela Lazarová.
The phenomenon of personal coaching arrived in the Czech Republic a few years ago. The first to jump on the bandwagon were business corporations and politicians in need of grooming. Style coaching, managerial coaching and life coaching have become part of the business environment. But as style and life coach Eva Stelíková told me, most Czechs still regard it as a passing fad.
Many people in Czech Republic probably thinks that nobody is judging or that it's not important. You know, they are living in some kind of strange reality that if they are clever, it's enough. But it's actually not true, because a lot of good deals you are doing in person, you have to have good offer, good product or anything, but you're always presenting yourself. And if you are sympathetic to somebody else, it's very good points for you.
So you studied in London and then you came back to practice this in the Czech Republic.
Yes.
What did you find? Is how has coaching caught on in this country? Is there still a great deal of skepticism about whether it's needed, even, as you said?
Well, common people, they don't get it. People really don't get it, what it is. Okay, many normal people, I mean normal like employees, they take it like what is coaching? That's probably like a trainer, it's coach, like sport coach. What the hell we are supposed to do with it? Are you psychologist or what the hell are you? You know, something like that. And who actually became my customer were companies. because they understood many of them are not only Czech companies, they are part of, I don't know, international something. So they understood what I'm doing, and I actually linked it with the etiquette. And for them, this was like really interesting to change their style, how they look, okay, their fashion, to change their behavior, to have some manners. Because Czech Republic, maybe also for political reasons, for history, it really damaged Czech person itself. You know, the families weren't raising children for good ethics. It was a lot of jealousy. It's very linked with the history. So companies saw that people from Czech should really be educated in this way because they don't get it from school. So they were my first customers, and it was great.
And if you were to generalize a little, what is it predominantly that you are teaching Czechs today?
I'm teaching them dress codes. They don't know it. They get invitation, there is name of the dress code, and they don't know what to do with it. Or they are invited to some special event, and in worse situation, there is not written the dress code, and they don't know how to go there, you know, if to take jeans, if to wear something more fashion, you know, they just have no idea. So that's why they are hiring me.
When you look at people in the street, for instance, what are the biggest fashion mistakes that Czechs make? There are a lot of jokes about recognizing a Czech because they'll be carrying a plastic bag or wearing socks and sandals. Or is there anything like that that you notice here in the Czech Republic that you don't see elsewhere?
Socks and sandals, as you said, I think this is the primer thing here.
That's the major sin.
Yeah, the major, major, major sin. And I would say they don't see what's terrible on them. Like, they would go out and they wouldn't have mirror that, for example, their weight, it's not ready for very tight pants or something like that, you know? You know what I want to say?
Is it because they don't see or is it because they don't care?
Both. First, I'm sure they don't see it because some of my clients, women, for example, they really feel good in things they are used to. And it doesn't matter that they look disaster, they are used to wear it, so they feel good in it. But when you look at it and you have a little bit taste of fashion, you see it's disaster and you want to help them. So you let them wear something else and they will say, yeah, I see it's nice, but I don't know if I am the right type for it. And they look gorgeous. Actually, I think that Czech people, I don't know, in many countries, so many good-looking people, like, naturally. They are very nice, they are very beautiful, but they really have no history with taste. That's the thing.
Oh, we were also talking about the 40 years of communism and upbringing and that kind of thing. So how does that reflect on their attitude to life, life coaching? What is it you are teaching them? For instance, people in this country seem to find it hard to accept compliments in a natural way. They will play it down if you praise their dress or something. They say, oh, that's an old dress. I've had that for years and years. You know, is this something that you sort of come up against? Are people self-confident enough? Are they assertive enough? What do you teach them in life coaching?
Mm-hmm. Well, the self-confidence, women usually miss this self-confidence, and I think they even don't know it. When you start to speak with them about the situation, how they could behave or how they could feel if, I don't know, their husband says something nice to them any day of the week or the month or something, they always say they're surprised how it should be or how it could be.
What else is it that you teach when you provide life coaching? What are the main things that you find Czechs lack and that you try to teach them, men and women alike?
To be more creative. To be more creative, to stand for themselves, to spend some time for their grooming. Because everybody tells you, I don't have time, I have kids, I have work, I have whatever. And they are not used to services. They are not used that much to go to nails, hair salons and stuff
to
like that.
To pampering themselves.
Yeah. They are actually really not doing it. Maybe some part, and obviously, since we didn't have this kind of luxury for many days, so it's not actually going to change in 5 or 10 years. It's a long way.
Is it changing with the young generation, from what you can see?
Yes, but the young generation has a lot of options. And I think that this is opposite problem, but still a little bit problem, because since they have so many options which style they should be in, they are changing it every year or every group of people they are meeting. Every time they travel somewhere, they take something, but I think they are kind of confused what they can combine and what they cannot, even by behavior. You know, I think that nowadays ladies or girls stop being ladies. And that's for me the basic problem. They behave more like guys and they are not expecting any gentleman to be around. So they cannot even behave like ladies. And this is, if I have like young customer, I'm always trying to show her how she's supposed to behave, to know their price.
What does the coaching entail? How exactly do you work with people?
You're talking. You're fine. You're spending one time with them. You have to know a little bit their life, maybe a little more than a little bit. So I never been in psychologist or somebody like that, but I think they are supposed to work in a similar way. You have to know the person. You have to know their background, why they are doing things that are doing, what people they are meeting, because the community, it's always form you some way, always. It depends what your family relationships, how you behave, like what is your income and outcome in feelings. When you understand this, you can tell them a little bit what maybe they could change. And the coaching is basically on giving examples in the stories. I am always telling a lot of stories that they can see similarities. Maybe they can take something from them, from this. Maybe they don't. It's their choice. I cannot order them do this and do that. Maybe I'm more strict in the fashion, so I really push them a little bit. But in changing their point of view of things, I am hesitating and I'm just talking, and they can take it from this what they want to.
If you were to compare clients here in the Czech Republic mm-hmm. and abroad?
Clients in abroad, they know what they want from you. They are used to services and they know what's your goal, what you are supposed to help them with. And they open to you more. The funny thing is that if somebody hires you here, he doesn't expect you to go too much inside his life. But without this, you cannot make it. So he hires you, he pays you, and actually don't want to collaborate with you in some parts, you know? So it's a little bit difficult. If you have client from abroad, it's he knows that he comes with this, and he knows that he has to open to you so you can help him. If he doesn't open, you cannot help him, because how you would do it, you know? And the good combination of this kind of coaching is that when, for example, you force people a little bit to change their style from outside, they will receive the sights and the good things that they hear from around. And this make them more self-confident, and they start to think, maybe she wasn't really wrong, maybe I could try it in this way. So you have just two ways. One that's coming naturally with their change of the style outside. And once when they remember your stories, what you said, and maybe what could be done.
As a style coach and a life coach, do you have what we call a professional deformation? Do you go around and think, oh, what dreadful shoes, I have to tell her?
Yes, I have. I wouldn't say I have prejudice or I'm judging people, but I'm guessing almost about everybody what kind of person it is and what's behind it. And that's probably maybe not that much about clothes. This I see naturally in very first moment, if it's good or not, and why probably would be. And I am very concerned about the body language, and I like also facial muscles, like in the face, how they look at you, if they look into your eyes or not, or how they move with their mouth and everything. So yes, I am a little bit deformated.
If you were to take a broader scope, who were the most stylish, smart women in Europe? What nationalities dress well, behave well? And how is the post-communist bloc doing in this respect, if you were to compare countries?
Basically, I like the most, probably I like Italians, because at first they are doing very good things. They have always perfect shoes, perfect glasses and perfect haircut. And this is helping them so much, because for first sight they look stylish. About French, when I was visiting France many times, I think that not everybody has there the talent for fashion, even if it's Paris. But I think that people from West Europe, they are thinking much more about what they wear every day, you know, even for themselves, not for people around. And actually, if you go to Czech Republic, Slovakia, that it's in Bratislava, for example, it's really coming up, the style. But if you go to Poland, to Ukraine, you find people that really have no taste. They are plain, and most of the times it's not really well done, unfortunately. This country like Italy or France, they never had the stop of being stylish.
The
40 years, it's a long time. And it's actually not only 40 years, because another 20 years, everybody here behaves in the same note, you know, same rules. Yes, it finished and communist age wasn't, but it's not that people changed in 1 minute, in 1 day, in 1 year. It took another, yes, I should speak about 40, but for me are like 60 lost years, and it's a lot.
How long will it take?
I cannot say, because right now, thanks to internet and all the media, it's very fast. Everybody's watching the Hollywood movies. You have plenty of magazines. You have inspiration everywhere. And it's not also about the price. So it's not that poor people or people that have like regular job cannot buy nice things. They can. It's not that expensive anymore. Before it was, but right now it's not. You can find almost the same design, very cheap. These cheap shops, they are inspired by these big ones. So the style is still the same. So they have chance to change. It's just the will. Everybody is beautiful. You cannot say one body it's more beautiful than the other. All of them are, but has to have right clothes on it.
Style coach Eva Stehlíková ending that edition of Panorama by Daniela Lazarová. And that brings us to the end of our English language broadcast. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.